next on the 5 o'clock report.
If we want to stop the Delta variant, the time is now.
It's finding that balance between those population centers with small local towns that have people with just as much need.
I'm so blessed that everything worked out the way it did.
Now, let's go to the newsroom.
Good afternoon and welcome to the broadcast. I'm Tracy Lynn. Chaos and darkness in Kabul, Afghanistan. Kemi McCormick at the Pentagon.
Lights have not resumed.
We are working to reestablish security at Hamid Karzai International Airport following breaches overnight that emanated from the civilian side of the airfield.
Hundreds of desperate Afghans chased planes, some clinging onto them, some died. Pentagon spokesman John Kirby says more U.S. troops are being sent to the airport.
We're going to work methodically in coming hours to restore a safe and secure environment so that air operations can resume.
President Biden speaking this afternoon, standing by his decision to leave Afghanistan.
After 20 years, I've learned the hard way that there was never a good time to withdraw U.S. forces.
Some U.S. leaders say Afghan soldiers lost the will to fight. U.S. Afghan war vet Jim Hansen is a former Special Services member.
Just leaving Afghanistan was not a bad idea. Leaving it in a way that makes America look weak and incompetent invites the terror groups to go ahead and take a shot at us. I don't know why we haven't seen more generals and civilian leaders at the Pentagon walking out the door having resigned in disgrace. They should either be fired or an investigation done to see how we managed to let these people walk us into this kind of a debacle on the world stage. It's putting everyone in the United States at risk, and I want somebody held accountable for this.
It's immoral. Our drawdown was irresponsible and immoral.
This U.S.-Afghan soldier telling CBS why she's protesting outside the White House.
Today I'm embarrassed to be an American because we pretended to be allies with these people, and then we just left lambs to the slaughter.
The UN Security Council assessing the crisis in Afghanistan with heavy hearts. U.S. Ambassador Linda Thomas-Greenfield.
We urge Afghanistan's neighbors and others in the region and beyond to give refuge, to be it temporary or permanent, to Afghans attempting to flee.
The Pentagon is opening up two more military bases in the U.S. to house thousands of Afghan refugees. Pentagon spokesperson John Kirby did not name the bases, but it would add to the existing evacuation site at Fort Lee in Virginia. The three facilities will have room for up to 22,000 Afghans. Help for Haiti following another earthquake for the island nation. Nearly 1,300 people have been confirmed dead. Relief worker Dennis Clancy.
It's finding that balance between those population centers where you can have a building with many stories, with those kind of unheard of small local towns that have people with just as much need.
Tropical Depression Grace is now lashing Haiti, bringing 5 to 15 inches of rain today and into tonight. Back in the U.S., the Supreme Court will consider a big guns case from New York. Oral arguments have been set for early November. The case involves a state law requiring anyone who wants a concealed carry permit to prove a special need to carry a gun outside the home. Opponents say the law violates the Second Amendment. Families on food stamps will be getting a little more help from the federal government. Rory O'Neill reports.
On average, monthly benefits will increase by $36. It doesn't sound like much, but it's the first time food stamp benefits have increased outside of inflation since the program started in 1962. Average monthly food stamp benefits rise to $121 a month starting in October. More than 40 million Americans receive assistance through SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program.
U.S. women's soccer legend Carly Lloyd is ready to call it a career. Lloyd played in 312 games for the U.S. women's national team while scoring 128 goals. The 39-year-old Olympic champion will play in four friendly matches in the fall for the national team as well as finish her season with New Jersey, New York, Gotham FC before hanging up her cleats. And how often do you read the Bible?
More than you used to. If you're like most Americans, the 2021 State of the Bible report finds that more than 181 million people opened the Bible in the past year, up 7%. 11% of Americans say they read the scriptures every day of the week, while 14% do it several times a week, and 9% say they open the book at least once every 7 days. At the other end of the spectrum, 29% of the general population never reads the Bible.
That's Michael Harrington reporting, giving hints on the second executive in New York, a potential mask measure in Pennsylvania, and vaccine mandates on the job.
Hi, I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast for tonight and tomorrow. Rather cloudy and humid with periods of showers and thundershowers. Local downpours, low temp 60s, high temp 70s. For Wednesday, variably cloudy, some additional showers and thunderstorms, especially in central and eastern Pennsylvania, with high temperatures in the mid-70s to the middle-80s. And it'll stay warm and humid with some sun and some thundershowers Thursday and Friday as well.
Thank you, Kevin. Now for more of what's happening where you live in New York and Pennsylvania, New York State's next governor says she'll pick her future lieutenant governor from downstate.
I've narrowed it down in terms of the geographic area of the state to New York City because I am an upstater, even though I've spent thousands of hours in New York City and I'm well familiar with the challenges. But I want someone who lives there. I want someone who understands that the challenges firsthand. So I'll have a very diverse administration.
State Senators Jamal Bailey and Brian Benjamin are reported to be on Kathy Hochul's shortlist. Under a proposed bill in the Pennsylvania Senate, parents who defy mask mandates at their children's school could pay fines if a classmate catches COVID. State Senator Anthony Williams' bill would state that parents must be aware of a school's mask mandate and must have given formal notice their child would not comply. Williams says he hopes his bill is unneeded, but aims to boost the vaccination rate in Pennsylvania. Starting tomorrow, New York City becomes the first city in America to require you show proof of vaccination in order to enter restaurants, gyms, or movie theaters. Mayor Bill de Blasio hopes it increases the inoculation rate.
The goal here is to convince everyone that this is the time. If we're going to stop the Delta variant, the time is now.
But not everyone is convinced the mayor's edict is the right move.
We do not like the mandates. We don't approve of them. We want to keep America free.
If my job requires me to get the vaccine, then I'm going to look to move somewhere else. I have to. I'm not going to compromise my health for the rest of my life.
Penalties are slated to kick in by mid-September. Next at 5, attorney Susan Betch-DeTomer speaks with us about vaccine mandates when it comes to your job.
With all that's happening, and now New York City is going to be requiring people to show that they've been vaccinated in certain parts, what can we say to all the people that are concerned that this is infringing on personal rights?
So it depends on the venue in which the vaccination is being required. We're very familiar with childhood vaccinations for school. Certainly the government can do that because public health is at risk. They have a broad leeway with public health. For example, as a condition of employment, they can require that. In New York, we are what's called a right-to-work state, which basically translates to being a right-to-fire-people state. You can be fired in New York State for any reason or no reason at all, as long as it's not a discriminatory reason. So you don't even really need to have it be a bona fide occupational qualification in order to fire someone if they don't agree with the rules. So, you know, the person could say, you can't have any visible tattoos, and if you come to work with a visible tattoo, they can fire you. So in the same way, they can say, well, you need to get vaccinated. And if you're not vaccinated, that's fine. You have a right not to get vaccinated, but they have a right not to have an unvaccinated person working there if that is what they want to do. So certainly in the private sector, they can require whatever they want to require. And a lot of people get confused because they think, well, it's my constitutional right to do this or that. But a constitutional right is only effective against the government. It's not effective against the private sector at all.
Yeah, good point. And I think that the right to work aspect applies in Pennsylvania as well. Is there anything else you want to say about the whole vaccine debate?
The government has a lot of leeway when it comes to public health. And I think anybody who's trying to fight this is fighting an uphill battle. I think the most interesting aspect of this, though, and something that I would like to challenge if I got a case, is use it to overturn Roe versus Wade. Because Roe versus Wade says that medical decisions are between a person and their doctor. And that is supposed to be, you know, as far as the government or the city or the federal government requiring this. And again, constitutional rights are effective against the government. So if everything that you want to do medically is between you and your doctor, then the vaccine should be the same. And so therefore, constitutional rights are effective against the government. And so you could use that to attempt to overturn Roe versus Wade in that they are denying you the right to have your medical decisions being between you and your physician. So I think that that would be an argument that could be made and could be made potentially to overturn Roe versus Wade because they couldn't have it both ways. they couldn't have it that medical decisions are a private matter between you and your doctor, and no one, certainly the government, has a right to interfere and therefore preserve Roe versus Wade and say, oh, but by the way, it's not your right when it comes to vaccinations. That's just not consistent.
But Susan, what if someone says, well, my abortion doctor is my doctor?
If your abortion doctor is your doctor, that doesn't make any difference to the argument that your doctor isn't the person the federal government is requiring you to get the vaccination. So the government, say the federal government is going to require some of its employees to be vaccinated, certainly at VA hospitals, my understanding is. And so the government is requiring you to take a medical decision, and it doesn't matter if it's your abortion doctor or any other doctor. The government is making that decision for you, saying, you know, in order to keep your job, you have to do this. Now, of course, the counter argument is, well, you don't have to keep that job. You can go work somewhere else. But I think it's an argument worth making.
That's Bath, New York attorney Susan Betts Chitomer addressing the issue of your rights on the job when it comes to vaccine mandates. You can catch up on each of the Family Life news features by visiting familylife.org and clicking on the podcast link under the radio tab. Now time for your market report brought to you by Ambassador Advisors. Here's Family Life's Dave Margolotti.
Stocks mixed today as the Dow Jones reached record highs and investors are eyeing geopolitical concerns in Afghanistan. Gains in the S&P 500 led by healthcare, consumer staples, and utilities, while crude oil dropped a dollar a barrel. The Dow today up 110 points, the Nasdaq losing 29, and the S&P 500 adding 12. Ambassador Advisors is a Christian financial planning firm helping faithful stewards do more. Online at ambassadoradvisors.com.
Thank you, Dave. You're listening to the 5 o'clock report on Family Life.
Today, the story of the tortoise and the hare. Hi, I'm Rob West with today's MoneyWise Minute. Aesop's fable tells us the hare was making fun of the tortoise because he was so slow. So the tortoise challenged him to a race. And just like that, the hare was off and running. But after a while, he decided he would stop and take a nap. The tortoise, meanwhile, kept moving, slow and steady. Eventually, he passed the place where the hare was snoozing. When the hare finally woke up, it was too late. The slow-moving tortoise had beat him to the finish line. The moral of the story? A slow and steady approach can be a successful approach, and that certainly applies to finances. To quote the book of Proverbs, steady plodding brings prosperity. Hasty speculation brings poverty. We can help you learn to manage your money according to biblical principles when you download the free MoneyWise app. You'll find it on our website at moneywise.org.
Hi, I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. After a cooler, drier pattern arrived over the weekend, we're getting back into the humidity now, and a couple disturbances, including at least one remnant of a tropical storm, promised to bring us rains over the next several days. Our call for tonight and tomorrow, rather cloudy and humid with periods of showers and thundershowers. Local downpours, low temp 60s, high temp 70s. For Wednesday, variably cloudy, some additional showers and thunderstorms, especially in central and eastern Pennsylvania, with high temperatures in the mid-70s to the middle-80s. And it'll stay warm and humid with some sun and some thundershowers Thursday and Friday as well.
Thank you, Kevin. Finally at 5. Could it be that boxing skills run in the family? Muhammad Ali's grandson, Nico Ali Walsh, made his professional boxing debut over the weekend while wearing a pair of the legendary boxer's trunks.
The pressure was just so immense. I'm so blessed that everything worked out the way it did. The greatest night of my life.
The 21-year-old won the middleweight fight against Jordan Weeks in Oklahoma.
My goal is to continue a legacy, not just the legacy of a great fighter, but me, a great grandfather.
Nico called his grandfather Poppy. 21-year-old Nico is studying business entrepreneurship in college. He plans to step back into the ring in October. That's the world we live in this 16th of August. Thanks for coming along. I'm Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.